Join longtime local and social butterfly Michelle Dragony as she flits up and down the coastside on her intrepid cruiser Flame, chatting with coastal characters at every turn.
Well, hello there. We are here today in the Coastside Buzz Studios with Mark Melville, who is running for sheriff for San Mateo County in 2018, and we've already done a couple of podcasts with him. Check the website, and we are going to do another one right now. I went to see him at Brews and Views at the Mavericks Event Center. Lenny of the Happening Bay Brewery, he sponsored it. And while Mark was doing his presentation, he happened to mention that there had been no election for a San Mateo County sheriff in 25 years. Mark, can you tell us how that happened?
Well, yes, I can tell you how that happened. The last election for sheriff was in 1993, and Don Horsley beat Mr. Derner. And when elected, Mr. Horsley brought in Greg Monks as his undersheriff. So in 2006, Sheriff Horsley stepped down, and he got the Board of Supervisors to appoint Mr. Monks as sheriff to fill out his unexpired term. When Monks became sheriff, he brought in Carlos Bolanos as his undersheriff. So in 2016, Mr. Monks stepped down, went to the Board of Supervisors, and got them to appoint Mr. Bolanos as sheriff. So all those years, there has not been a true election for sheriff. So it's been 25 years.
Wow, that's interesting. Do most counties do that, appoint their sheriffs through the supervisors? Or, I mean, is it unusual to have a sheriff election?
Well, it's not unusual to have a sheriff's election. I mean, there are times when, as I said, if you're running and nobody is opposing you, you're not even on the ballot.
Right.
So, and that's what happened in this case, and nobody ran. So, if nobody runs, there's no election.
Okay.
So, the last two sheriffs, though, have been appointed by the board. That's not uncommon for the Board of Supervisors to fill an unexpired term.
Okay.
But generally following that, there is an election.
I see.
But in this case, there hasn't been an election.
Well, you're certainly eager to be elected, aren't you?
Yes, I am. And that's why if you look at my website, it says time for change. To me, it's almost unfathomable that we have not had an election in 25 years. So there needed to be an election. So I did. I went and saw Sheriff Bolanos and I told him, there's going to be an election because I'm running against you.
So now I know one of the things that we talked about when we were at the Brews and Views, something that you feel very strongly about. We've got this immigration sanctuary city thing that's going on. We talked a little bit about it in our last podcast, but I want you to explain to people why you want to make sure that the criminals who commit a crime in San Mateo County serve out their sentence in San Mateo County, but what's happening right now.
Well, and that is correct. You know, we are a sanctuary state. The sheriff's office, we have to operate under SB 54 that tells us what we can and can't do. But there are some areas that the sheriff has some leeway. My whole thing is that if you're going to commit a crime in this county, that you be arrested, you be prosecuted, you be sentenced, and you serve that sentence. All too often, ICE will come in and, you were arrested for this violation, take you out of our jails and deport you. What happens then is, then they're back within a week or two, having served no sentence for the crime they committed. And that has got to stop. That has got to stop. There's no other way to put that, is that we have too many examples that we see in the news today of persons that have been deported 5, 6, seven times and never have served any time for the crimes they committed. And again, they're committing more crimes. That's got to stop. We have to have them serve their time here. Once it's over, then what happens will happen.
Then they can go back.
Then they can go back.
Be deported. Have you noticed any slowdown in the return rate at all since ICE has been more active in California?
I don't think ICE has been more active in California.
Oh, really?
They're doing what they do on a normal basis.
I see. It's more media related than
awareness. I think the media is all over it, especially now when persons are identified as being undocumented and they're committing more and more crimes. Mm-hmm. That is what is being brought to the attention, is that, you can commit a crime if you're undocumented, they'll deport you, and then you'll be back within a week or two. And I think I told you last time I talked to an ICE agent, and I asked him point blank, you know, what's the quickest turnaround time you seen after you deported somebody and they were back in California again? And this was an ICE agent out of San Francisco, and he told me 8.5 hours.
Wow.
That's unbelievable. And then that person is served no time for his crime.
So the ICE agents, what would their preference be? Do they prefer to do this? They obviously sort of see that it's not working?
Well, yeah, I don't know what their position is. Mm-hmm. You know, they have their own duties and their own responsibilities. Mm-hmm. But in California now, they're going to have to jump through a lot more hoops and hurdles. They're going to have to show up with federal warrants to take people out of our jail. So, and that's different than the what we call the unlawful detainer, where they just come in, detain them, pull them out, and deport them.
Gotcha. Okay. So there's more of a process.
It's more of a process now that they have to go through to come in, take somebody out, and deport them.
Okay. Cool. Now, another topic, which is completely different. Mark has a great video on his website. It will be on my website too. And it's all about the watershed. And I've lived here since 1989. I'm a big mountain biker, but I did not know the history of the watershed. But Mark, didn't you say your dad worked for the water department in San Francisco?
Well, actually not my dad, but my dad's best friend.
Okay.
So back in the 60s, in the 70s, we spent a lot of time out at the Pulgas Water Temple. Mm-hmm. And in being able to walk the grounds out there during the inspections and things that they did. Mm-hmm. And it came to me that there was a movement to open the watershed for walkers, hikers, bikers. And I jumped on board with it because it's a beautiful property. It sits right in the middle of San Mateo County. Mm. It's absolutely gorgeous. Our county parks, state parks, post-regional parks, they surround the watershed. Mm. And I thought it would be awesome if we could get the San Francisco Public Utilities Commission to vote to open that up so we can offer another recreational opportunity here in San Mateo County.
That would be incredible. That would be absolutely a dream of mine. I mean, as a mountain biker, hiker, so many people on the coastline would just, and in San Mateo County would go nuts for that. So tell me the history of how the Water Temple got there and its relationship to San Francisco.
Well, the city and county obviously needed water. They get it from Hetch Hetchy. It comes down, it's filtered over into the East Bay, and it flows into San Francisco. The excess water comes down into the watershed. Oh, it's dechlorinized. It's basically there as a reserve. Mm-hmm. If at some point in time the city and county needed that water, they can run it back, what I call reverse mode, chlorinize, and send it back into San Francisco. It's been there since the late 1800s that this process has gone on. But more recently, obviously, is the chlorination over in the East Bay before it makes its way to San Francisco. Mm-hmm. So the city and county, obviously, you know, would not be the same today if they didn't have that type of a water source. Mm-hmm. And now they do. And it sits right here in the middle of San Mateo County, along with their airport. It seems like they like our county a lot better than theirs. But in all seriousness, that, you know, it is there. And I'm thinking that it could be used, obviously, to store their water, but we can open it up as a recreational opportunity for anybody. Any visitor to the Bay Area would love to come and see.
It would be a destination location.
Absolutely a destination location. And their concern is they don't want any contamination to the water. Mm-hmm. I get it. I understand it. There's no roads other than what the workers use to get down to the water's mm-hmm. edge. Mm-hmm. And there's 35 to 38 miles of roadways that are already graded out that can be used for the walking, the hiking, Amazing. The biking. They can contract out with our Midpen Rangers. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities if they don't want to hire more people. It would just be a total asset to this county, my opinion,
I think
to open that up and get people out there utilizing and seeing it.
It's so along the lines with what Post is already doing and GGNRA and Monterra. So what's the process to actually make that happen?
Well, it's going to have to be voted upon by the San Francisco Board Utilities Commission. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so there are petitions before that commission to open that up for that recreational opportunity. So in my video, I encourage everybody, you know, track down anybody you know in San Francisco Public Utilities Commission, the City and County Board of Supervisors in San Francisco, and urge them to open it up.
Sounds like maybe Coastside Buzz needs to do a little survey or petition, since we would really like that.
Absolutely. Again, you're always looking for recreational opportunities. That's an asset. It's a beautiful asset.
Yeah. And so, Mark, give me one last thing before we head off. What's something that is really sort of resonated in the last 2 or 3 months as you've been talking with people going out and about?
Well, I think the thing that resonates the most, and I've talked to a lot of people, mm-hmm. is that they really want to feel connected to their law enforcement agency. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, as I said before, there's 4% of our population that commits 100% of our crime. The other 96% of our population, they kind of like us.
Yeah.
And they want to be closer to us. Mm-hmm. We all understand public safety is the number one issue, and we want everybody to feel that they are safe, whether they're in their homes, whether they're in school, whether they're at work. We want them to feel that they're safe. And so they're looking for a closer connection to us, and we need to be able to provide that.
Well, I know I'm a CERT trainer. That's a community emergency response team. It's a FEMA program, and I go out and I train people locally on how to be prepared for emergencies. And I know that there's been a lot of turnover in OES, that's Office of Emergency Services staff. I know that we here on the coast would love to have a little bit more consistency with that. That would be a great help. I know that in an emergency, you might have both roads out, but we're working with the airport. You know, we'll still have airplanes and helicopters that can get in and out, but largely we're going to be on our own. So we want to have as much power as we can and as much support as we can from OES as well.
Well, OES is one of our biggest functions, and we need to work closer with our fire agencies and our volunteers to make sure that they have the tools and everything they need in case of a disaster. And I'm all about putting the right people in the right places to make sure that we get that job done. And that does include OES. And we have some good folks in there now, but I think we can be better than we are.
Well, I know from my perspective, as a civilian, the more contact the people in OES have with the Coastside, the better we can do our job in an emergency, because OES is going to be over the hill during a really, really big earthquake emergency sort of thing. So we are going to be largely on our own. So the more faces and the more networking we can do before that emergency, the better off we'll all be.
Oh, no, absolutely, without a doubt. And again, that goes back to what I said before. People want a closer relationship with their law enforcement agency. And since we run OES, that includes all the CERT teams that we have mm-hmm. here on the coast, South Coast, Pescadero,
and Pacifica Lahan, too, right?
Yeah, Lahan, mm-hmm. the Pacifica. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We have to engage with every entity in this county. And I can assure you we're going to be a lot better at it.
Well, you've been on the coast for a long time. You patrol from Half Moon Bay down to Waddell, and you know everybody. And I think, you know, in the emergency services, we always say that if you walk into the EOC, the Emergency Operations Center, and you recognize a face, you know what that person can do, what they can't do, and you're able to make great strides immediately. And so I know Dave Cosgrave, Italian Chief for Happen Bay and Ari DeLay, La Honda Fire Chief, we're actually teaching a cert class over the next couple of weeks right now. Maybe we'll have you out to our final cribbing and our search and rescue exercise that we do at the end of our cert training. Mark, thank you very much for coming in to Coastside Buzz again. And I'm going to get that video up so you guys can see it. And we'll have Mark back in again too. And I'm sure he'll be back here talking on the coast, and I'll get that up on the calendar as well.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, and I look forward to coming back.
You're welcome, Mark.
Thank you.
Bye.